And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And welcome to the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Great to have you with us, friends. We hope you'll be able to stay with us. Join us for the full hour-long broadcast. We'll get things started in just a couple of moments with a devotional message, followed up as we open the phone lines here at the Grace Hour with your phone calls, and we invite your participation in the broadcast, as we do each and every day that we broadcast live, Monday through Friday, from 11 a.m. till noontime. To join us, get to a phone, dial one of these numbers, and you can weigh in and share your thoughts about our subject, our theme, throughout this week in the Grace Hour, which is Holy Grounds, How and Where God Reveals His Presence. Here are the numbers for you to dial when those phone lines are open. You can join us with your comments, questions, testimonies, counseling needs, and as you have your prayer requests, they're always welcome here on the broadcast. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number in all of North America. And you can dial that number and join us live on the broadcast. For those of you listening in the local Baltimore area, we invite you to join us at the following number, 410-483-3700. And we expect to hear from some of our local listeners today as well. But wherever you're tuning in and listening to the Grace Hour, of course, live online at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, we hope to hear from many of you today. Of course, the Grace Hour is now being broadcast on many different platforms. The podcast can be heard on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and many more. And again, when you listen to us on these platforms, please like us and share the fact that you listen to the broadcast with others, as we would love to grow our audience simply for the fact that they would have a chance to hear the message of the gospel. So we're, again, excited about our broadcast today. Monday, of course, we spoke about meeting God at the burning bush with Moses yesterday. In Joshua, the fifth chapter, the captain of the Lord came and revealed himself to Joshua. And today, the Son of God revealed himself to the three Hebrew boys in the furnace of Daniel, the third chapter. So again, we're grateful for these opportunities to be able to share these thoughts with our listeners around the globe, and look forward to having you join us when those phone lines are open. Hope to hear from many of you today, as these subjects, these themes, really exemplify the fact that God indeed does meet us with His presence in all of the situations that we read about in the Scriptures, especially those that we're taking the opportunity to highlight throughout this week. We do want to mention that on tomorrow's broadcast, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour, we'll have a message from Pastor Stevens entitled, Accept God's Time of Visitation. And again, of course, in each of the instances that we described for you a moment ago, God's presence was revealed. But I suppose we could say nothing quite compares to the fact that God appeared in the person of Christ in the incarnation. And that will, again, be the focal point of Pastor Stevens' message on the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. That's coming up tomorrow, and we hope to hear, hope to have you listen to that message, and then we want to hear from you as well. So, again, filling up the phone lines is always important to us here at the Grace Hour. It gives you the opportunity to share with us and our listeners around the globe what your response is to our messages, and your contributions are always so welcome. It could be a comment, a question, testimony, a counseling need. But we're excited to have you join us during the podcast. Well, today, again, it's Daniel's the third chapter. And just to kind of summarize that third chapter, you will remember that Nebuchadnezzar created this golden image and then requested, not actually requested, but demanded that everyone worship this image. And when they would hear the sound of the music and all of the different instruments that were played, that's when they were to bow down and worship this image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Well, there were three Hebrew boys who refused to do it, and I think we know what the reason was for their refusal. They knew the living God, and they were not going to worship Nebuchadnezzar's idol. And of course, there were those that, when they heard about what these Hebrew boys had done, immediately brought it to the attention of the king. He was outraged and demanded an audience with them. They were brought into his presence. He questioned them, and basically they told him, look, you can do whatever you do, whatever you want to do. You're the king here in Babylon, but we have our convictions. We know the living God, and we will not compromise those convictions based upon your decree. And Nebuchadnezzar said, well, there is a fiery furnace prepared for anyone and all of those who refuse to bow down and worship this image. And they said, well, then we will be cast into that fiery furnace. But if God chooses to deliver us, we will accept that deliverance. But if not, Nebuchadnezzar, you need to know we're not about to compromise our convictions. And then, of course, they were cast into that fiery furnace only after it was heated 7 times hotter than its original intention. Now think about that. That's like a perfect fiery furnace. 7 always represents perfection in the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar wanted this fire to be perfect for those who refused his decree. And that's when they were cast into this fire, but someone was with them. Nebuchadnezzar looked in and asked, how many did we cast into the fiery furnace? They said, 3, O king. He said, I see 4, and one of them is like the Son of God. The presence of God, again, with these 3 Hebrew boys in the midst of this fiery furnace. They came out unsinged by this fire, not even the smell of smoke upon them. And that's when Nebuchadnezzar realized, he actually made a decree that everyone in his kingdom was to worship the God of the 3 Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And he said their God is the living God, and no one should serve or worship any God except their God. Then he made that decree. And then the last verse of that 3rd chapter in the book of Daniel says that the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the province of Babylon. What an account that illustrates so beautifully the amazing presence of God. You may be going through a fiery furnace of your own life today, not necessarily one of your own making, but perhaps circumstances beyond your control. But know this, that God is with us, not only in those glorious moments of life, the mountaintop experiences that we go through, but also when we're in the valleys, deep valleys, dark valleys, challenging times in our lives. The presence of God never wavers based upon the circumstances. You know, so often we ask people how they're doing, and then they respond by saying, well, you know, under the circumstances. Well, just remember this. God says that we're not under the circumstances. We're under grace, and his grace is the means whereby we can become overcomers, no matter what the set of circumstances are in our lives. And I realize, and we know, that many of those circumstances are difficult, overwhelming, and have the potential to strike fear in our hearts, to even potentially drive out faith from our hearts. But again, God is greater, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, the God of this world. Yes, God gives us a spirit that allows us to overcome even under the most difficult, strenuous circumstances. And the presence of God was with these 3 Hebrew boys, just as the presence of God was with Joshua when he led the children of Israel into the promised land, just as he would be with Moses as he would be called to, again, lead the children of Israel out of their bondage from Egypt and through the wilderness and up to the brink of the promised land. So that's the background of this story, friends, and we have a lot more to say about it. We'll share our thoughts with you right here in our studio, and then we'll open those phone lines and give you the opportunity to share your thoughts with us and weigh in, share what you have to say about the amazing presence of God. How he reveals his presence, well, we can't always tell and don't always know where he will reveal his presence. Again, that's for him to determine, but we know this. There isn't anywhere we could ever go in life as believers that we will not find the presence of God. And that's such a source of encouragement, such a source of hope for any and all those who have placed their faith and their trust in the person and the finished work of Christ. So when the phone lines are open, friends, we want to remind you, looking forward to having you join us. This is a narrative that all of us are familiar with. If you've read your Bible, you know about Daniel. You know about the three Hebrew boys. You know about their faith. And I, in particular, love that statement that they made. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, you should know this, that our God, we know that he is able to deliver us. And if he wants to deliver us, he can. He is able. But then those words, but if not, those are the words of faith. Because we all have to ask ourselves this question. What if God chooses not to deliver me in the midst of the trial, the test, the challenge that is daunting that we face in life? What if he decides not to? Well, we have to ask ourselves this question. Will we still continue to trust him? Will we still continue to look to him? Will we continue to believe him and not waver in our faith, not vacillate between believing and unbelieving, but just, well, as it says of Abraham in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, you know, he just was strong in his faith, giving glory to God. And he believed that the one who promised was able to perform that which he promised. So these are some thoughts that we'll share at the outset of our broadcast today, friends, hopefully stirring up your heart and your mind in relationship to the presence of God. Pastor Schaller has joined us in the studio on this Wednesday morning, and we're just getting things started, and we're excited about the possibility of hearing from many of you wherever you're tuning into the Grace Hour today. It could be in the continent of Africa, somewhere in Europe, Asia, South America, right here in the continental United States. How about north of us in Canada? Take this opportunity and fill up those phone lines and join us live on the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. 800-338-7060. That's the toll-free number in all of North America. And right here in Baltimore, you can join us, friends, at 410-483-3700. What are your thoughts about this account in Daniel, the third chapter? What are your thoughts about the Son of God showing up in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys and joining them? It's interesting to me that it seems as if God was waiting for them to come into that furnace and meeting them at that crucial moment of their lives. And can you imagine, friends, what are the thoughts going through their minds? Yes, believing that God could deliver them. But then when they finally made that decision that it looked like God wasn't going to deliver them, but yet he was waiting in the fiery furnace. Yeah, I suppose we could say sometimes he delivers us from the test, but then there are other times when he delivers us in the trial, in the midst of the fiery trial, just as he did with the three Hebrew boys. Join us. Share your thoughts with us. As we mentioned, Pastor Schaller just returning from a trip to India and having spent some time there with all of the precious saints in the cities of Mumbai and Bangalore, back with us here in Baltimore and joining us live on the Grace Hour on this Wednesday morning. And we've heard some tremendous testimonies, even had a couple of those testimonies early in the week about your time in India, Pastor. And, well, we heard some great things. And, of course, we saw an amazing video as well that showed us all of those precious saints.
Yes, we did. We did. We had a great time. Pastor Love, your comments on Daniel and that actually the three Hebrew boys. Where was Daniel when that event happened?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Daniel.
He was in Babylon. We know that.
Okay, and maybe he just was maybe not yet targeted, but those three Hebrew boys found themselves, and they were his colleagues. They had been gone into captivity with Daniel, taken from Jerusalem in the first wave of the deportation as young men, and they had they were given Babylonian names. They were probably pretty sharp guys, and yet deep in their hearts, they're just not Babylonian. They're Jews, and a Jewish law forbade the worship of any image in heaven, on earth, under the earth. No image of anything could be a god, so they refuse. So were they the minority?
Absolutely.
All right. Should we, on what grounds would we say I will be outside of the group? And what grounds would you say, Pastor Love, that you would stand and be separate from the group, not under the pressure of the herd?
I think when we live our lives biblically, that's our standard, and that's how we can make those difficult decisions. Maybe they're difficult, maybe they're not so difficult. Maybe they're obvious, maybe they're not so obvious, but the Scripture is our standard, and if there's any kind of a violation that we find in the Scriptures, even if our culture tries to impose those standards upon us, well, we make a stand, and we decide, no, I'll stand with God. And I'll just deal with the consequences, whatever they may be.
No, you mentioned standing with God. We can say believing in God. We need more than just an abstract God. We need a living God. We need a God that talks to us and convinces us, persuades us. So let's say I don't mind being the minority as long as... And could you fill in the blank?
As long as I know I'm on the right side.
Yeah.
As long as I know I'm honoring truth.
Yes. Okay.
Honoring God.
Okay. So there is where we are landing. Now, what's lacking with many young people, and maybe we should make a point regarding young people, mom and dad, what are mom and dad believing? How did mom and dad get there? If they are believers, how did they get there? What are they believing? And is that happening to me? And the answer to that question might be, I don't know why mom and dad believe the way they believe. And I don't know about it. I don't have any real personal conviction about it. And at school, they say this and they say that, and so I don't stand alone. I don't stand against the current. I'm in the current. I'm going with my friends. I'm following the herd. And now I'm a young person, but I can't stand being the minority. I don't want to be separate from my friends or from the group. So what do you think about that, Pastor?
Oh, I think you're right. I think it's difficult. It's hard, but sometimes the hard decisions, the hard choices, are the ones that we have to make that will really map out our future. And you know, maybe isolation, as much as we might not like it, and as young people, they certainly don't like it, is absolutely necessary for spiritual growth. Sometimes being set apart from the herd is exactly what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Because it may be the catalyst that moves them into a meaningful personal relationship with Christ. It's not always as bad as they think it is. I mean, it might appear that way, but give it some time and you'll realize that spending time in the presence of God, even if that means you and Him alone, is more valuable than, you know, decades with the crowd.
I think that, and to be honest, if the if there is a devil, if there is, there are lies, if there are wicked people, if there is some, you know, people that are anti-God, if there are people that hate religion, if there are people that don't care about the good and the bad, they just want to do life their way. And if they have the microphone, so to speak, or they have the influence over young people, what do you think their message is going to be?
It's going to be powerful. It's going to be influential. But it's not a message that you can't overcome. I think conviction is so important to talk about, especially with young people. Convictions can become like the boundaries for your life, and you're going to remain, you know, in it's like the riverbanks of your life. You're not going to go off course. You're not going to jump the fence because you've got these convictions. These are the settled beliefs in your soul, and they're convictions that are based upon the objective truth of the Bible. And you cannot go wrong when your heart is established in those kinds of convictions. You're going to be guided. You're going to be blessed. You're going to honor God. And then as far as the culture is concerned, let the chips fall where they may.
So if there was actually a demonic strategy to remove God from the classroom, remove God from society, to remove the Bible from our education, to remove wise men from our lives, and those unique people that are like the three Hebrew boys that were put in the fire, never hear from them again. I don't want to hear their testimony. And remove the whole thing as much as possible, and then tell everybody to conform and go with the flow. It's a lot easier. Then that's a good strategy. That's a good strategy for evil to succeed. And then you got nobody standing and nobody being different and nobody with a different message. Everybody's saying the same thing. Everybody's doing the same thing. And there isn't any other message. And that's like, you know, like we are sitting around, everybody's doing the same thing, believing the same thing. They're all worshiping the golden image. And that's the way society is supposed to be. Except there isn't the joy. There isn't the power. There isn't the holiness. There isn't the wisdom. There isn't the truth. And there just isn't any testimony of God.
Yeah. Until we read of these three Hebrew boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which just is a reminder to us that, you know, it doesn't take a multitude. It takes a handful that have faith in their hearts and a strong set of, you know, settled convictions in their heart. And what a difference they made.
Yes.
What a
difference. You know, like in life, we do look for the heroes. We look for the guy that actually climbed the mountain. We look for the Elon Musk type of guy who built an empire. We look for the gold medal winner in the Olympics. We want to know who sang the latest hit. You know, and who stood in the basketball game when everybody was taking a knee? You know, who stood, who had some conviction? Who wrote the best book? You know, who believes in God? Who stood against Nebuchadnezzar and survived? He survived. And actually, in the world of politics, we're living in a country where we have a history, and regardless of the day to day and where we're at in our fall, our direction, there's always the possibility of somebody saying, I'm not bowing. I'm not bowing. I'm going into the fiery furnace. I'm trusting God. And you know, there was a time when in our country, morality and Christianity was linked to law. And law was an important part of our society. in our relationship to that law. Well, now our leaders say this is not a Christian country anymore. We can do as we want to. The laws are on the books, but we can break them. We can interpret it any way we want to. We can do whatever we please. Okay. So that's where our country is on a downhill slide. But even as it is going down, I don't have to go down.
Amen.
I don't have to be part of that. I can say no. Mm-hmm. I can say I don't agree with you. No, I don't. You can throw me in the fiery furnace if that's what you're going to do. Then get on with it. Do what you got to do. I got to do what I got to do. And that's the way to live your life. Like, live it before God. And how can I know God? It's to be born again, have the Spirit of God, have a Bible open, have a pastor teacher, have a local assembly. Live by faith in God and walk with God, you know. Yeah, the country isn't what it used to be, but I'm not part of that. I'm not agreeing with that. I'm not going that way. I want to walk with God. Many of our brothers and sisters are in Hindu countries and communist countries and Islamic countries, but it doesn't matter. We are walking with God. Ask the three Hebrew boys. They walked with God, and they were thrown in the furnace, but then what happened?
Presence of God waiting for them. It's fascinating. You know, people read this story and say, how could it happen? How could it possibly, could they have been thrown into this fiery furnace and survived? But, yeah, God honored their faith, and I think that he always honors our faith, especially when we exercise that faith in the midst of great opposition, where we may stand alone. But, you know, better to stand alone with God than to be in the midst of the multitude and be on the wrong side.
One day in the house of the Lord is better than a thousand in the tents of the wicked. Cody wow. Told me that.
Amen.
What?
Yeah, that's good.
Psalm 84, isn't it?
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I have a piece I want to read. This is the French social philosopher who toured America in 1831, Alex de Tocqueville. And he was fascinated with America. He said, in France, I had almost always seen the spirit of religion and the spirit of freedom marching in opposite directions. But in America, I found they were intimately united, and they reigned in common over the same country. Religion in America must be regarded as the foremost of the political institutions of that country, for if it does not impart a taste for freedom, it facilitates the use of it. Indeed, it is in this same point of view that the inhabitants of the United States themselves look upon religious belief. In other words, like, we would look at religion in America in those early years as being a very fundamental, important part of our politics. We know that the French Revolution, it didn't really work as ours did, because it was anti-God, but ours wasn't. I do not know, I'll continue reading, whether all Americans have a sincere faith in their religion, for who can search the human heart? But I am certain that they hold it to be indispensable to the maintenance of republican institutions. This opinion is not peculiar to a class of citizens or a party, but it belongs to the whole nation and every rank of society. I love that. It's very good. Like, we believe that religion was fundamental to our country, to every institution. Actually, behind every institution in our country, we have the, what he calls here, institution of religion, or the firm belief that morality and religion go together, and that morality is instrumental, fundamental, to everything working right. Yeah, it's very good. But I feel we have left it. Mm. And so now we've got Nebuchadnezzar provoking us to worship his golden image. And we are saying our society without God is not, we're not interested in that. Because we have a personal walk with God. Therefore, our view is to fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom. And regardless of how things go politically, I'm not going to give up in what it is that I believe and know to be true. And that's what we read in this story with the three Hebrew boys. So how did they get there? Let's go back to that point about young people. How do you get there? You need to go to church. If you sacrifice the church for a soccer field, if you sacrifice the church for, you know, a gymnasium, or you sacrifice the church for some other activity, then you're really forfeiting what is really needed in the heart and mind of a young person, 15 years old, 14 years old. They need to learn the Ten Commandments. They need to learn to be morally right. They need to learn to be faithful. They need to learn not to be a betrayer, not to be deceitful, not to be ungodly. In 2 Timothy 3, these are words that define the end times, but they have to be different. And a coach, a godly coach, can affect young people. A godly teacher can affect young people. A godly pastor, a godly Sunday school teacher, can affect young people and impart to them what's needed in order to stand against the culture.
Amen. And all of those values, as you said, are under assault today in our culture. It's interesting, too, that Nebuchadnezzar, along with building this image and making the decree that everyone would bow down and worship it, it was also accompanied by, you know, music. And you could almost say that we as believers, we're listening to a different kind of music. We have a different song. Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3 says that God brought us up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, and he put a new song in our hearts. It's almost like the Hebrew boys could say, look, we listen to a different song. We know what your music means, and that's the cue for everyone to conform to your standard, but we got a different song. We're listening to different music. We're hearing a different voice, mm-hmm. And that's what's so desperately needed today in our culture, because it's so easy to just drift along and go with the tide, but swimming against the current, that's the challenge, and today, like never before, it's the challenge for everyone, especially young people. You can join us, friends. Phone lines are open. Now's the time to give us a call, 800-338-7060. That's toll-free. Pardon me, and the local number, 410-483-3700.
Chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. So they came forward and accused the Jews. They saw there was some characteristic about the Jews, and that was that they were not idolaters. They really picked on the wrong people. And now, if you want to put in there the word, at that time, certain Americans came forward and accused the Christians. You know, is that going to happen? It used to be Americans, all of us were God-fearing. Not all of us were God-fearing, but all of us understood the value of our morality, the value of Sunday school, the value of believing in God. There was a time, really, 1830s through the 19th century, it was very much part of the fabric of our country. Just read the speeches of presidents What are our presidents saying today in their speeches? Are they even mentioning the word God? Are they telling the people to fear God, you know, follow God? No, they don't do that. They would never. They do not do that. Ronald Reagan was. He did. He spoke about God, and Donald Trump did too. And whether you like these presidents or not, it's, you know, it's a president's responsibility to care for the people of the United States. And the fact that morality, honesty, trust, conscience, these are all important principles in life. You throw it away and we're going to have a pagan society, which is where is the direction. Well, not for me. That's our message today. Not for the Jews, not for me, not for the believer, not for the one that is fearing God. And this is our message today in our world. And to be honest, when COVID hit, churches closed down, they shut their doors, people lived in fear, they sequestered at home. Yeah, but they went out to buy liquor at the liquor store. They would go to Home Depot to buy stuff for home improvements. But would they go to church? The Bible says, assemble all the more as you see the day approaching. Forsake not the assembly, in Hebrews chapter 10. Well, how could we close down in a pandemic when people need the God and the word of God, and to be encouraged and edified in the faith? Well, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to draw near unto God. And these three Hebrew boys, I had the same spirit, which was, no, we're not doing that. No, we're not doing that. This is where we stand. And if we die, they said very clearly to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. That means we're not hemming and hawing. We're not like parsing our words. We're not looking for a compromise. We're not careful to answer you. We are going to tell you directly that our God is able to deliver us. And if he does not, we will not bow down and worship this statue.
Yeah. Conviction. Well, yeah. It's refreshing. Yeah. Well, let's go to the phones. We have callers waiting to join us. Let's start our program today with our listeners, with Kathy joining us from the Baltimore area. Kathy, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Thank you so much. I'm just so blessed to hear every word that comes out of your mouths. First you, Pastor Love, initially, and then our beloved Pastor Schaller. Thank you so much. I have a comment, but the real reason I called was for prayer. It seems that we need to pray more these days, and sometimes it overwhelms our hearts, the prayers that we need for our families and for our friends. And I have two families in particular. If we could please pray and ask all the believers that are listening to pray also. First is our grandson, Dakota. He is at a very despondent place in his life right now, and we all know that it's tough being a teenager, and I think it's especially tough when you're the only boy in a household of women. But he is at a crux in his life where his granddad, Rainey Karen, brought him out to Rosebud last summer. And that revolutionized his life, and it gave him a vision of what life is like in the church with an incredible team of believers that ultimately were going for souls. But, you know, the Indians on the reservation have such need. So Dakota's life, he saw that he could help others and have an impact, and that he wasn't just on his video game playing Madden for the summer or fighting with his sisters or whatever young boys do that are kind of lost, you know, going to maybe, he goes to a public school and he's lost there. He found identity on a team in the body of Christ, you know, and bloomed. So that's our goal again, is to go forth and to go to Rosebud and for Grumpy to take him to Rainy Karen to take him to Rosebud again. And that's his vision too. But he's just barely, you know, he's white knuckling it until we get to the end of July. I paint a picture with words to just tell you that this young man is so on our hearts. Every night we pray for him several times a day because he's on the edge, you know, and he just is on the edge. And so our heart is to get him out to Baltimore to help his granddad put a roof on our little house, you know, to put his hands to work within the body of Christ. So he's here in Baltimore during convention, and there's a renewed spirit in him. So when we go out to South Dakota, you know, he's going out for a purpose to go to Rosebud. Okay, so that's the first prayer. Second prayer, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, is the precious Renault family, Jackie and Mr. Turmel. I don't even know his first name, Mr. Turmel. Al, yes, sir, yes, sir. Yeah, very precious. He's like my dad, so I address him in a proper name. But they have an incredible need in their entire family right now. I will only say similar to Pastor Dan and Marilyn, you know, passing of their mom and just for on so many levels. Mr. Channel's been very, very ill and really continues to be. So if we could pray for that precious family, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. Father, we pray for Al Turmel. What a wonderful brother he has been throughout the many, many years. And you know, losing his wife recently and some health issues that he's facing. We just pray, Father, that you would provide your grace. You said that your grace would be all sufficient. We pray that indeed it would be in his case and with his family, his children, again, taking care of him and all of the issues relating to him. So cover him, bless him. Thank you for his life, Lord, and meet those needs. And then for Kathy's grandson, Dakota, Lord, she describes in his life what could be a description of so many teenagers, young people in our country today, lacking purpose, lacking an identity, needing a godly sense of purpose and convictions in his life. We pray, Father, that he indeed would come here and join us for the International Convention next month, right here in Baltimore, and then also be able to make a decision to go back to Dakota and be a part of that team that ministered so effectively to on the Indian reservation. So please, Lord, don't just allow him to be sustained, but just allow him to live like an overcomer and just strengthen his faith and give him a vision that you impart to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Bless you guys. Love it. Love you.
Phone lines are open, 800-338-7060. Locally, 410-483-3700. Let's go to Chris next. I'm not sure where Chris is calling from. Chris, welcome.
Hi. My question is, what happens to the culture or the society when people just keep turning away from religion, from God, from church, from the Bible? I know what happens to me. It's like I go on the wrong path and I drift, but I want to see the whole picture. Like if people just keep doing that and just turning away, what will happen to the society?
Yeah, they're going to worship the golden image, I think. That's a good question, Chris. I mean, that's what we have really been, you know. I have this book. Maybe you can see it if you're on the video. America's God and Country. Very good book. I think this book I highly recommend it. It's the letters and quotations from important American people presidents and congressmen, senators, professors, teachers, and what they said about America in the history. Like, this is not commentary. This is from their letters and their speeches and what they said and what they really are over and over again saying, that we cannot lose our bearings in regards to our religion. We cannot we cannot lose our faith in God. We need God for our society to work. And what we are watching is really mental health care issues. We're killing babies before they're born. Even after they're born, we see drug addiction. We see leaders lying and being dishonest. And we see a moral decay happening right in front of us because we are leaving God and faith in God. The transcendental, the God that's beyond time and space, the living God, Jesus Christ. And so we must come, turn back to him and find him.
No, because I've seen in my life being, because I haven't been consistent in the word. I haven't been consistent in seeking God, spent time watching TVs, watching things I shouldn't be watching, just turning away, drifting slowly, and just have gotten desensitized. And to come back is not an easy thing. It's a hard thing because the devil has more to play with in my life to remind me of things. And it's a hard thing, so I really see now the importance of the word, the importance of church, the importance of fellowship, the importance of confessing my sins to the Lord, the importance of all those things. But it can be so overwhelming. But I just thank God for his grace that I can do it.
Yes.
Not get overwhelmed and just even take that one step and take that next step. And sometimes I take too many steps away and then I have to try and take those steps back.
Well, let me say one thing about it, okay? You're doing a really good job explaining yourself, and we're all tuned in to what you're saying because we can identify. But, you know, let's say I take many steps away from God. How many to come back to God? One. Because he is the God of all grace, and it's just one decision. Then who is he? He is the God that forgives, the God that empowers you, the God that gives you the fills you with the Spirit, the God that restores your soul. So I know that we can get desensitized and feel very far away, but he's not far away from any one of us. And he's like not a man. Like with people, we go away from a man 7 steps, 10, 15 miles, you know, and we think, oh, it's a long way. But with God, it's not like that. He's there with you. He cares about you. He will restore you. So you can be quiet before him, confess your sin, and forget it. Forget it, and be filled with the Spirit and his word, and walk by faith in him.
And how does the spiritual warfare thing get in there, like the devil? Is he always going to be there to try and...
He comes and goes. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. He's not everywhere present. Demons are not everywhere present. They have their limitations. The key for the believer is very simple. Resist him, and he will flee from you. So it's not a big deal. The battle is the Lord's, and we just put on our armor, and we walk by faith in him, and we have authority over him. It's our privilege now. He's under our feet. So in the time of warfare, like you might be led to believe that it's a big battle and it's really tough and I don't have the strength. Not true. You are very well equipped. God has empowered you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And all you have to do is resist him and he will flee.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate this.
Thanks for the call,
Thank
Chris.
You.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. Call again.
Amen. She's joining us from up in Springfield, Massachusetts. That's amazing. It is so true, though. No matter how many steps we take away from God,
yeah,
you can turn it all around just with one step.
Yeah, it's easy. I mean, it's, there's a human, and for the young lady that just called us, and you could hear very sincere heart and good, but then also the discouragement that it's easy to have when we, maybe I don't have a church. Also, am I hearing systematically the teaching of the Bible? Am I around believers that are encouraging me and victorious, you know? But I get isolated, I get discouraged, I've failed in a number of ways. I'm introspective, I analyze myself, and I think, for God is far from me. That can change in one message, in a few minutes, just with the truth and the Spirit speaking to us regarding the finished work.
She brought out a great point also about, she used that word drifting, how easy it is to drift, and how sometimes we can be unaware and not even realize that it's happening, you know?
Yes.
But there's almost two currents. You have the current of the culture that if you get caught in it, it will take you in a specific direction. And then you have the current of God's kingdom. You got to step into the right current. Because if you step into the current of God's kingdom, you're going to be brought in a godly direction. Your life is going to be filled with meaning and purpose. And, you know, she mentioned, practically speaking, the television shows are not going to interest you as much as what God has to say and what God thinks about you interests you. Mm-hmm. And all of those distractions are replaced with the purpose that God has for your life. And it's just to step in the right current and let God move
and
you.
You can pray that you will meet some believers. You meet, pray, really, pray. Chris was the woman's name, I think.
Yes.
Pray that you would meet some believers that they could come over to your house, you could go to their house, you could meet in a Dunkin' Donuts every week, you can go to church together, but meet other believers who will help you. They can say, let's witness to people about Jesus. Let's pray together. Encourage each other.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Deborah is joining us, I believe, from Indiana. Deborah, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hi.
Welcome.
Nice, very, very nice to meet you on the phone. I'm sorry. But I just had some comments, if that's okay.
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, as far as the three boys, I love that story. I love it. And I know I wasn't there. It was total different. We say one thing because we're here, but I would have definitely crawled in that fire because regardless if he showed up or not, we would be in the kingdom. We would be in the presence of the Lord. And as far as the lady that was on there, bless her heart, phone call, I think, before me, I just wanted to say, pick up your Bible. Go get next to someone. I mean, that's when you feel like you can't or you don't want to do it. At least she's being, it sounds like, maybe convicted to do something. You know, the Lord's got his hand on her. But I know I've been there, and it's been about 5 years, I believe. I almost died, And I mean, I was in the Lord, and it never was talked about in my home when I was growing up. Praise God that He had His hand on me, and I'm just like a sponge, and I just can't get enough of Him, and I'm learning, and I'm just learning every day. And I've been introduced to this Grace Hour by my daughter-in-law, and it's just amazed me. And I just feel better when I listen to it, and just thank you for everything you do. And I might be getting to come to Baltimore, but next week or whenever that is. But the thing is, I almost died 5 years ago. I had over 13 surgeries. My son said he stopped counting, and they called my family in for, you know, saying I wasn't going to make it. And God just would not let me go. And till this day, He had to take people out of my life. He had to get alone with me. And I must say, I'm still pretty alone with Him, because sometimes it's better to be alone with the Lord than be with the wrong company or things like that. And I'm really hard on myself, and I always beat myself up thinking that I'm not, you know, done something right or whatever. And, you know, we can't do that on earth. And I always want to go home. And people, like, don't understand. But isn't it true that when you're, the closer you get to Him, you want to go home? Mm. Is that true or not? I feel.
I think it's true, yeah. I think
to use the Bible, the Apostle Paul said that to go and be with Christ, yes, but then to be on the earth with you is maybe more needful, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like we do have both. Like, I anticipate leaving my body and being with Him, and it being all a very, very good thing. At the same time, maybe, Deborah, He has something for you to do here.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why I have to let that. I still feel that way, but obviously He's got something for me to do. And I definitely am one of those people that would love to have a one-on-one teacher or you know, just to, because I get so into it. And, you know, my family, I feel like, well, they say they're all saved, and I can't say any different, but my mother, I'm the one that called in yesterday with my mother bedfast.
Deborah, we hate to interrupt you, but we have to sign off. But thank you for the call, and we do hope that we'll have an opportunity to meet you here in Baltimore soon.
Yes, bless you, and have a great day.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. And thank you, friends, for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour, and we hope that you'll join us for that. Until then, may God bless you.